This is Pastor David again from International Baptist Church. I wish we could say we're meeting here this Sunday here at IBC. You see the empty seats behind me, but we're still during this coronavirus shutdown. So we're unable to meet. We do pray that the virus will not spread. If you're not aware of the news, Baden-Württemberg is the hardest hit state in the German Union right now. So we pray for our state. We pray also for all those around us. We pray for safety. We pray for the nations of the world. And wherever nation you come from, whatever nation you come from, let me encourage you to pray for the leaders of that nation and for other people for safety. Well, today I want to talk about dealing with God's grace and God's peace in the midst of a storm. The question I'm asking is, does God care about me? Does God care about you when we're going through a storm? Last week we looked at worry, and there's a difference between worry and a storm. A worry is theoretical. Maybe we're afraid that something will happen, but a storm is about what did happen. A worry we should avoid, but a storm we have to resolve. It creates problems that we have to face and fix. This issue about the coronavirus is no longer a theory. It's actually a reality that we're facing today. Well, the text I'm using is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. And it starts out this way. Then Jesus got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." But here is the perfect example of the storms in life. They come on you unannounced, sudden. And there's many types of storms. Using this for an analogy of all those problems we face. If there's financial storms, for example, during this time, many people are laid off. Many companies are downsizing. And those are euphemisms. It sounds nice. Sounds more innocent than it really is. And to be laid off, it sounds nice, but it's not a nice feeling. Or some salaries have been reduced significantly because they're not sure how long this is going to last. And these are problems we need to resolve, we need to fix. There are also medical storms. Certainly during this coronavirus, many people have been diagnosed with it, or they're concerned about it, or they've been exposed to it. But there are other situations as well in life. Sometimes you get a diagnosis of cancer or another serious chronic illness that you were not ever planning on having or thought you would have, but suddenly you're one of those and now has a chronic illness. Or maybe it's a marital storm. Maybe your spouse wants to be out of the marriage, or maybe your children are grown and raised and they're dealing with something like this. But suddenly you feel like you're in a storm, just like these disciples felt on the Sea of Galilee. Suddenly you're in a storm. There's some things you have to face and resolve, and you're not sure how to do it. Well, the first truth we're seeing in this is that Christ is with us in the middle of a storm, even when we think he is not. That's one of the first thoughts that we feel like in a storm, that we feel that just Jesus is no longer there. God is no longer there, and we don't feel his presence, but he's still there, even when we do not feel like he's there. The disciples were letting Jesus sleep and didn't think about calling on him or waking him up. They were just going to go on and face it and try to fix it as best they could. Rather than going to him who can do all and knew all, they just were trying to resolve their problems. And that's typical of us as well. There's an analogy of a storm we see in this picture, or an anatomy of the storm, excuse me, we see in this. Always three factors in every storm. There's always those things are represented by the wind, the things we cannot see. There's always facts behind every event in life that we don't know why it happened like that. Those are things we just cannot see. Why did this take place? We don't know. And then there's the waves, and the waves represent those things we can see and we have to deal with that are caused by the things we cannot see. Those are the things we have to deal with, and we need God's strength and wisdom and on how to deal with these practical issues. And then there's a third, there's the people factor. In every storm, there's always this issue of relationships. How do we go through this together? If you lose a job, it's not just you that has lost a job, it's your family that's lost the breadwinner, or some income as well, and it affects everybody. And how do we go through this? We can imagine on that boat, maybe some of the words the disciples were saying to one another were not that kind. It was not the loving, wonderful fellowship they had at other times. Rather, there was arguing back and forth. There were probably some accusations. And that's always a temptation in every storm of life. One of the things we have to be careful of is blaming others for the problem, or playing this what-if game or if-only game. If only we'd gone here, if only we'd gone there. The truth is that whatever path we take in life, there's danger on both sides. And if we were someplace else, we don't know what problems we would have there, but I assure you we will have problems. If we read the Bible, we see God telling us the end of the story. It ends with a new heaven and new earth and God's presence with us. And it says this in Revelation 21:4, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Well, that's the end of the story. But Jesus also said in our time, in our age, in John 16:33, he said this, I've told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. So in this world, we will have problems. We will have trouble. It's just a fact of life. It's interesting as you look at this story, realize that storms happen when you're doing the will of God, because they really were on a mission trip. Christ told them, let's go on the other side of the lake to those people there. We're going to minister to them. And even when you're doing the will of God, storms happen. And even when Jesus is in your boat, storms can happen. Jesus was right there with them, but nevertheless, they were in the middle of a storm. But a wonderful truth to grasp and hold on to is this. It is better to be in the middle of a storm doing the will of God with Jesus in your life than any place else on earth. So he is always with us no matter what, no matter where we go, what we're facing. He is still there. Even if we don't feel his presence, he is still there. The second truth is that Christ can help us even when we think he cannot. When we're in a storm, we think, well, he can't help us, or God's not going to be able to change this. But God is the most powerful being in the universe, and there's nothing that is impossible to him. But the first thing that we have to grasp is he cares about us in this time. Sometimes we're going through a storm. We think, well, this is something I've caused, or this is something that the world has caused, and God doesn't care about us. One of the differences between the Christian faith and the beliefs and the superstitions of the common people of the Mediterranean world was that their gods really didn't care about them. They were not able to give them good advice. Their gods were capricious and unreliable. So the Christian faith came with this wonderful message that God cares. And God is able to help. God is with us. But here's how Jesus helped at that time. When they woke him up, he replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The Bible says that we have not because we ask not. There are many things that God is willing to do for us. It is his will that he would do for us, but he is waiting for us to ask. I believe when we get to heaven and we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we'll be amazed at how many things God wanted to do for us, how many ways he wanted to bless us that he did not do it because we never asked him. It's good to read the Bible and see the plan of God for his people and what does he want to do, and then we can boldly come to him and ask him that he would do that, not just for us, but for others as well. But again, that same passage, and by the way, that's in James chapter 4, that same passage also warns us that we should not ask simply selfishly. We ask for our own lust because we want this or we want that. Our praying should always be for the will of God, for the glory of Christ, and for our people to be blessed, not selfishly, but for others as well. All we're taught to pray for ourselves is simply for our daily bread, our daily needs, but for others to pray for them. And God course, is able to do much more than we ever ask or think, according to his presence in our lives. We have a self-sufficiency, though, that thinks we can do it all ourselves. When the disciples woke up Jesus, they didn't know what he was going to do, but they didn't expect that. But Jesus is able to do what we cannot do. Our self-sufficiency makes us think that we don't need God, but the reality is we do need God. One of the things that's come out of this coronavirus is the awareness of the need of God in our society today. And there's a movement starting right now among Christians in Germany. And if you're living in Germany, let me encourage you to practice this, that every night at 7 o'clock, many are stopping what they're doing and praying, just for a few moments, praying about this coronavirus, praying for the sick, praying for the doctors and health workers, praying for protection, praying for the whole world, but taking a moment and reaching out to God and praying. In fact, at 7 o'clock each evening, they're also lighting a candle and putting it in a window. Let me encourage you to do that, not just to light the candle and put it in the window as a witness to your community, but also to actually pray and ask God to intervene in the situation. Well, the needs for storms are many. There's the need of forgiveness. There's the need of a coordinated effort. There's the need of emotional support. There's a need for people to turn to God in this time. There's the need for practical solutions. There are many, many needs. And in this time, when science is trying to say they have all the answers, we need to realize that it's only God who has all the answers. So Christ can help us even when we think he cannot. And the third thing is this, though, that Christ can use the storm for good even when we think he will not. After he calmed the waves, he said to the disciples, well, the passage rather says this, and the men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. They had a testimony to share about God. It's been rightly observed that sometimes Christ does say to the wind and the waves or the problems of life, peace, be still. But sometimes he turns around to those in the boat who are going through the storm and he says to our hearts, peace, be still. We're going to ride out this storm. And sometimes that's what God does in his grace and in his love and in his wisdom. He allows us to go through a storm. But in the midst of that, we are growing. We may see this and say, how can God use that? It doesn't mean that God creates evil. It doesn't mean that God delights in making people punish and being in pain. But it means that God can use even the worst things that happen in life to do his will. And he will bless us in ways we cannot imagine. Trees, when you cut down a tree, you can tell the growth of the age of the tree by the rings. And the rings are developed by two types of growth. There's the quick summer growth, and then there's the shorter, more dense winter growth. The summer growth happens quickly, but the winter growth is more dense and actually makes the tree stronger. And same in our lives. The good things that God blesses us with, they create joy in our life. We're happy about those. But in going through a difficult time, that's when God really solidifies and strengthens our faith. Billy Graham wrote a great book on peace with God, and in that he spoke about there's three types of peace we have with God. There's, first of all, the peace with God we receive because of what Christ has done. That is, God forgives us our sin, and we become part of his eternal family when we trust in Christ. Christ carried our sins in his own body on the cross, dying for our sins, so that we may have peace with God. We are reconciled with him through Christ. But secondly, there's the peace of God. And that's the peace that surrounds our hearts and gives us confidence even in the midst of challenging situations. And you and I have experienced this. We lose a friend, we lose a loved one, or we face a difficult situation. Still, in our hearts, we can be at peace because we know that God is with us and he will use this to do something great in our life and in this world. But thirdly, there's the future peace, the peace that we read about earlier from Revelation, where one day he'll wipe every tear from our eyes, there'll be no more sickness or sorrow, and we'll be with God forever. Billy Graham has this quote. I love his way he says this. He said, "I've read the last page of the Bible. It's going to turn out all right." And that's a great promise to take. Well, God is with us when we're brokenhearted. God is with us when we're challenged. God is with us when we're worried. And God is with us when we're going through problems. And he can use these things. He can solve problems. He can deliver us. He can strengthen us during this time. And that's what we need to look forward to see how he will do these things in our lives. I pray that God would bless you. I pray that he keep you and your family safe. And that I pray also that he would strengthen your faith during these days. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your grace and your love. I pray, Lord, as we go through this storm of the coronavirus, that, Lord, you would strengthen our faith and our confidence in you. We do pray for all those technicians that are involved in looking for a vaccine against this. We pray for all the doctors and the nurses and the hospitals and other people that are treating sick patients. We pray, Lord, for deliverance. We pray for safety. We pray for healing. And Lord, we pray that you would get the glory out of this. We pray that the world would turn to you in this time, and Christians especially would pray to you. We pray for an end of suffering, and may you come quickly, Lord Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.